This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon there, Mike. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. It's not raining, and it's 59 degrees outside. It almost feels like spring, which is about 2 months too early. But
that's not good.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I saw a tree. I can't remember. I didn't get a close-up of it, but I saw a tree that was budding up and looked like it was ready to pop its blooms.
Uh-oh.
And it's like way, way early.
No, we're going to have some cold weather yet.
I hope so, and I hope we have some more rain, a lot more rain. Anyway, thank you for listening today. And this show is about ideas of what you can grow, how you can landscape, how to fertilize things, prune things, dig things, plant things, all that kind of stuff. And if you have any questions, 673-4464 is the number you call. We'll get you on, and you can ask your question, and we can go from there. And here, this is kind of a note. This month, I've been on this show 19 years.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah, 19 years. How did that happen?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. When I finished up as a county commissioner in 2002, it was just right after the first of the year, my wife and I were headed north to pick up some plants, and we went to Casey's Restaurant for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walked in there, there was Pat Markham sitting there having breakfast. And I said, "Hi, Pat." He says, "Hi, Mike." And then an idea popped into my mind. I says, "Pat, how come you don't have a gardening show on your radio station, on your talk shows?" He says, "Well, give me a proposal." I said, "Okay." And so I sat down and we had breakfast and we went to get our plants and, you know, a proposal. How do you write a proposal for a radio show, for crying out loud? I never done that before. So about 3-4 days go by and I get a phone call at the nursery and it's Pat. "Mike, you got my proposal ready?" I says, "Oh yeah, I'll be there at 3 o'clock this afternoon."
Boy, he remembers.
And he says, "Okay, all right, I'll see you then." And
nice.
Then he hung up and I thought, okay, I got to write this proposal now. So I wrote a one page, I can't remember what I wrote, but you know, things I would talk about,
yeah,
and what it would be like, and blah 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 blah, experience, etc. And I came here, and it was on a legal yellow page. That's all. I didn't even type it. I just wrote it, and I handed it to him. And he opened it up and looked at it. And he says, "That sounds good. Want to start next week?" Okay.
A lot of notice.
Yeah, a lot of notice. And having never been a radio, whatever I am, having a show, I thought, man, I got to make this good. I don't know. And here, I haven't been fired in 19 years.
That's good.
I can't believe it. So if you're listening,
I wish I could say the same. But...
Well, you're not old enough yet.
Okay. I'll take that for an answer.
Well, anyway, today I'm going to talk about citrus trees,
okay,
you know, like oranges and lemons and kumquats and things like that. And I'm going to speak a little bit about the care and safety of indoor plants and how to make them grow and so you'll like them.
Are you going to get you your sack there?
Oh, I got a sack. That's part of the show. It's a sack of true organic citrus and avocado food. It's fertilizer for citrus and avocados, obviously. But it's something new we've never had at our nursery.
Huh.
And the back of the package, I mean, it has stuff in it. Well, one part's in Spanish and one part's in English.
Well, you better read the Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. let's see. What does it say here?
Oh, Lord.
Mira la comida true organa. Comida de citrusos aguacates de acuerdo a la tabla a contención.
That's good.
How's that?
That's pretty good.
I know. I can speak it
I
too.
Didn't know you could.
Fooled you,
called
buddy.
My bluff.
Fooled you, buddy. If it was in Russian, I couldn't do it.
Oh, how about Chinese?
No way, Jose. Anyway, here's the show. If you got a question, 673-4464. So for years, I've been growing this one citrus tree. It's called a dwarf Meyer lemon, and I've spoken about it in the past on this show. And I've learned quite a bit about citrus, and I ran across an article, or several articles over the year, but this last one I ran across about a couple of nurseries in the Portland area who are growing citrus trees outside, outdoors, and they don't freeze, they don't die, and they produce fruit. And I thought, whoa. So I read their article. It was a fairly good article, and I'm going to connect with them sometime in the near future, and because they don't just grow dwarf Meyer lemons, they grow oranges, maybe three or four different varieties of oranges and kumquats and several other items. I didn't make a list of them.
You're gonna have them as guests?
Pardon me?
You're gonna have them as guests?
No, I'm just gonna steal all their information and talk about it.
There you go. You know? That's free stuff there.
Yeah, that's free stuff, and I'll tell them, hey, I'm gonna put this stuff on the radio. But like the dwarf Meyer lemon is fairly easy little tree to grow, and you can grow them from cuttings if you have a mama plant, if you will.
Yeah.
But these guys can grow up to about 10 feet tall fairly easily, and there's one in Winston, and I've spoken about this one before, that is at least that large, and I've seen it. And in fact, he was a client, and we were doing some landscape work for him, and he says, hey, do you want to see the lemon tree I bought from you several years ago? And I said, okay. And he took us over to the side of one of his sheds, and he had built a small portable greenhouse around this lemon tree that he had planted in the ground. And the portable greenhouse keeps it safe during hard freezes or heavy snow.
Nice.
And he just made out of, you know, 2x4s and 2x6s and things like that. And not very large, probably 10 feet across and maybe 10 or 12 feet tall. But it has portable windows, plexiglass windows that he can take out so that the breeze and the warmth in the summer can get through there and all that. And then when it gets cold, he puts these portable windows back in. And all he had to heat, and I don't even know, since it was so big, it was like, I say, eight maybe 10 feet tall. And he had one big light bulb in there in the wintertime, just to, I guess, to keep frost off. But I don't see how any frost would have penetrated in there, and this, like I say, was planted in his soil, in the ground, and it had a ton of oranges. Maybe not a ton, but it had
a lot.
I'm not oranges, lemons. Excuse
lemons,
me.
Yeah.
But and this little greenhouse was, you know, kind of cute, and kept it safe, and keeps the heavy snow off, and that kind of thing. And like I said, just a wood frame with removable plexiglass windows, and it was, and like I say, when I saw it last, which was probably, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that.
Well, you're going to have to check up on it.
I am. I keep meaning to stop in there and see how it's doing. But when I saw it, it had at least 100 lemons on it. It was gorgeous. And they are evergreen trees. So the leaves are kind of green and shiny and look good. And I thought, wow, if you can do this, why can't I do this? So, and I've never planted any lemons outdoors, but this coming year, I'm going to put several out in my field just to see how they do.
Okay.
And see if they are really as hardy as what these guys in Portland are talking about. So, but
interesting.
And in doing my research, of course, I've found many varieties of citrus that are going to grow in Oregon outside in your yard. And, you know, and it's like, whoa, how can that happen?
Yeah, that's a little strange.
Yeah, it is. This is not, you know, the Central Valley of California, you know, or Bakersfield or somewhere like that. This is Oregon, man. And but the blossoms on these citrus are very aromatic. I mean, strong, perfumey. But the problem, because we don't have the heat that the Central Valley of California has, their oranges or lemons or whatever they're growing, the fruit isn't real sweet, but it's tangy and kind of tart. And it's great for flavoring. So if you were drinking, having a drink of some sort, you could flavor your drink with the juice from these guys.
Mm, okay.
And I've eaten these Meyer lemons. We've had them, and I've eaten them, and it tastes like a lemon to me. I mean, they might not be the perfect lemon, but, you know, they're kind of, you know, pucker up after you take a
bite.
That's
what I was going to say. Yeah. Isn't a lemon always kind of tart?
Yeah, it is kind of tart. But and you know, pretty juicy, too. But anyway, this is sweetness, like I say, is not as strong as what you get in a warmer climate. And this is also true for the oranges, the grapefruit, the kumquats, and all that kind of stuff. It's still good, but not dripping with juice kind of thing. And and I found out that most of them are hardy from about 0 degrees Fahrenheit. In other words, it can be zero, and they still live. And I'm having a hard time with that because all these years I'm thinking it wouldn't work.
No.
But the article was in the Oregonian here probably 3-4 days ago, and maybe it was Saturday's Oregonian because they have a gardening section in there on
that
Saturday.
That nasty word here.
Yeah, I know. But you don't have a gardening section in yours, man, you know. But anyway, if you don't want to chance it and put it in the ground, you know, they do well in pots on the patio and on the decks and all that kind of stuff. And if it gets really cold, you can move them indoors if the pot's not really huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's indoors, they can grow indoors all the time. Or you can, like I say, put them out in the spring, bring them in the fall, or even tempt to see how well they'll weather out. The problem is I had a very, very large one that one of my professors in college gave to me as a present.
Yeah.
Very large, and it was in a big old wooden redwood box. And we had a severe October freeze, 10, 12, 15 years ago, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
And the box was so big, one person can't move it, can't even drag it. It was so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes three guys to pick it up and move it. So it stayed outside the greenhouse. Well, that freeze, when it just dropped, it cooked it. It fried it right there and killed it. But fortunately, I had already taken cuttings from it, and I had baby lemon trees going in the greenhouse. And in the greenhouse, it was like 39, 38 degrees, even with the heat on. We don't blast it, but and they didn't even budge.
They didn't know the difference.
No, no big deal. 38 degrees, I can handle this.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, according to the literature that I was reading, according to the article I was reading, I think, well, what the heck? If you want to try one in your yard, here's a few ideas for success, and see what you can do. Anyway, and this pertains to any citrus, okay? The lemons, oranges, whatever. They need and they do best in full sun, so don't put it in a shady location. Put it out there in full blazing sun, and even in the winter, the sun's going to, you know, work its magic on them. And you only need one plant because they're self-fertile.
Oh,
I mean,
they're
self-pollinizing.
Yeah.
But if you have two or three, it's even better. I mean, it does a good job all the way around.
Yeah.
Number three, these dwarf ones, they have a lot of thorns. They don't have a smooth trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And these thorns are probably a good half inch long.
Ow.
And just like a needle, I know, because I've been stuck with them a lot of times. So what you don't want to do is plant a row of them next to your sidewalk or something from your where you park your car to the front door, or, you know, right around the edge of the patio.
Neighbors may not like it.
Well, you know, or the kids might, you know, want to run through it sometime.
Oh, only once.
Only once. And they're cured. They won't do it again.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, they're not juice-filled or super sweet lemons or orange, but they can be used, like I said earlier, to enhance flavor in drinks, you know. So maybe you can make a weak tasting lemon juice or a weak tasting orange juice and you know, add a little water and spread it out.
Probably healthy too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's healthy. Yeah, for sure. And these guys ripen late in the fall or the early winter, usually like in November. But indoors are going to ripen more quickly because it's warmer consistently and constantly. And as long as you got them by a nice big window where they get the sunlight, I've got one in the greenhouse. The tree itself is maybe 6 to 8 inches tall, just a seedling, and it's got one lemon on it. And the lemon is bigger than a golf ball. Yeah. And it's hanging
almost
on
as big as a tree.
Yes, almost. Yeah. And I'm thinking, how's that happen? How can that little tree be so strong? And how can it have a lemon this early in its life?
Life, yeah. Boy, it's going to be a good producer.
Oh yeah, it could be. I'm taking good care of it. And if you even plant them in the ground or even plant them in a pot, they're like well-drained, gritty soil. In other words, sand. And that kind of thing. And some kind of a acidic planting mix is also the best. And you know you got good drainage that way, mm-hmm. and you know that the root penetration is going to go.
And we'll be right back after this.
We will be back. I'll tell you more about this stuff.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with segment two and a phone call. Hey, good afternoon there. You're on the air with Mike.
Good afternoon. My name is Danny from Roseburg.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. I'd like to find out about growing lavender indoors. I'd like to add a couple of indoor house plants. I understand that lavender plants improve sleep quality, possibly, and
promote relaxation. Do I need to know anything special about lavender? Is there more than one species?
Well, there's more than one variety of lavender, but what you said about the calming effect of lavender, and you can make lavender tea, I guess, too. I've never had any, but it's a real easy plant to grow. And if you give it a large enough pot, more than just a little tiny pot, something that's maybe 10 inches across minimum, and put it in there and then keep it by a window, it's going to do a really good, really good job for you. And the only thing you have to be concerned with is not to overwater it or over-fertilize it, and it should do very well.
That's a pretty big pot. Don't those plants come pretty small when you get them at a nursery?
Well, some of them do, but some of them come in a gallon-sized pot, which is about 6 or 7 inches across and about 10 inches deep. So, and we have small ones that come in a 4-inch pot. So, yeah, you can start out in a smaller pot and see how it grows. And then at some point in the future, you're going to probably have to, if it's doing well, have to transplant it to a bigger home so that it can continue to be healthy and grow.
I see. Okay, great. Well, I'm going to stop by and get one of those 4-inch pots and give it a try.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know how many there are in the greenhouse, but by March we'll have quite a bit of it in the greenhouse.
I see.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Mike.
You're welcome for the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All righty, 426 lines are open for you now.
Yeah, 673-4464. So I was talking about how to raise these lemons and these oranges and indoors here. And I got to number 8, is fertilized with a high nitrogen fertilizer. And that's true. But there's also, my wife pointed out to me that we had a true organic citrus and avocado food in the nursery, and I went, whoa. Ooh. And that kind of blows away what I was talking about with a high nitrogen fertilizer, because this particular fertilizer, and it's brand new to me, is only 4% nitrogen, 5% potassium, and 4% all the way around here. And on the back of it, it is it talks about how to fertilize your citrus trees and avocado trees and that kind of thing. So, like I say, this is a new one on me. I just picked up the sack to bring it in here so Kyle Bailey could take a photo of it and put it on my whatever I
webpage.
Thank you. I knew there was a there was a term for that. But it gives you quite a bit of information, and it's in English and in Spanish, and
it's made in America.
And made in America, so it's good stuff. I'm going to give it a shot. I've got a lot of small lemon trees that I'm going to fertilize with it, and see what the results will be. And I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to put my high nitrogen food on one set of plants, and then I'll have this new fertilizer on another set of plants, and just compare the growth, compare the health, that kind of thing. So,
sure, that'd be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I'll have a better handle on what this actually does. So, but when you're planting the citrus, you figure the larger the plant, the more success you're going to have. In other words, if you're out there shopping for some kind of a citrus tree, get something with a little bit size to it. I've got a lot in 4-inch pots, which I don't even sell them. They're too small. But by midsummer, I probably will be transplanting them into a larger pot because they will be, you know, green, lush, and growing and that kind of thing. So you don't want to, I don't recommend that you start out with something that small right off the bat. It's better to have a good, healthy, rooted-in plant to start with. That way you can watch it more closely and see how it's growing and kind of get used to it. You have to get used to these plants. You have to observe them and think about how often do I water or how often do I fertilize or when do I fertilize, when do I water, that kind of thing. But anyway, the last one of the last points I wanted to make on these things, if a super cold front and it hits our area, and you've got one of these planted in the ground or something, or out in a patio pot or something like that, you can protect it by covering it temporarily with a blanket or a tarp or something like that. That will help. And even if you could string a light bulb in there to keep the frost off, that would also help. And then the first summer, if they're in the ground, according to this article, these two nursery guys up there in Portland area, they said to water diligently the first summer at least once a week. And I don't know.
That kind of goes against your philosophy.
Yeah, it does. But, but you know, they grow a lot of them. So I'm going to, like I say, this spring and summer, I'm going to experiment with ways to grow them, ways to fertilize, the type of fertilizer, the type of watering. And you know, when they're in a pot, that's one thing, but when they're in the ground, it's a whole different ball game. You know, it could be but there are growers here in Oregon that are creating hybrids of citrus that are more cold tolerant and juicier. Unfortunately, our Oregon citrus are not, like I say, quite as large or as sweet as those grown in warmer climates like, you know, Florida, California, places like that.
Yeah.
But I have faith in the future that these growers will create citrus that will grow better than those of Arizona and California. So
there you go.
Yeah. So let's try that out, guys.
Arizona needs all the help it can get, that football team. Well, that's
no, we're talking trees now. I don't care about the football team. Oh, gosh. If you have a question, 673-4464. But our climate is kind of doing strange things. But if our climate continues to get warmer in the winter and summer, the citrus tree business could become an added value to Oregon agriculture. You know, the citrus pioneers here in Oregon are creating hardier and more cold tolerant citrus trees, which is great, and they can survive in our cold winters, according to their article. And at the very least, just think, if everyone who read that article or hears my voice or thinks about citrus, they buy a citrus tree, a lemon or an orange, and they'll have their own crop every year of oranges and lemons fresh off the tree, organic.
Nice.
And that's good.
Can't beat that.
No, you can't. And like I said, I've got, you know, maybe 20, 25 small lemon trees in my greenhouse now. And I was telling Dale, one of them is only like 6 inches tall, has a lemon on it right now. And I'm looking at this little tiny tree in a four-inch pot that's only 6 inches tall with a lemon, a regular-sized lemon, hanging from one of its branches. And I'm thinking, this is strange. But my greenhouse winter temperatures, they get down to about 39, 38 degrees. I heat it to the point to where it won't freeze in there, but I don't dump a lot of heat in.
Overdo
there.
It.
Yeah. No, I don't overdo it at all. And some of the more mature lemon trees are in an unheated, totally unheated greenhouse, and they're looking healthy. They're looking good. And so this spring, this coming spring, maybe April-ish or so, I'm going to, like I say, plan the real test for the cold hardiness is I'll plant at least two lemon trees in the ground outside of the, somewhere in the field there, to test the hardiness to cold, wet weather. And even if the leaves sustain freeze damage, the roots will not be hurt because they're protected by, say, 12 to 15 inches of soil. And so that's going to be a real test of hardiness.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, when these plant crazies out there say, well, let's see if we can do this, or let's see if we can do that, or let's graft this to this, and you know, that's how a lot of plants are created, by cross pollination, by grafting one tree onto another root system, and these guys seem that I've read about, they seem really into this, so they might be on the verge of something that is, like I say, kick in a whole new aspect of Oregon agriculture.
For the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Have you tried a Pacific Northwest orange?
Yeah.
Or lemon?
Compared to a Southern California.
Yes, with all that dirty pollution.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the second part of the show is going to be devoted to indoor plants, and I've already done kind of, but it's winter time, and we're not outside, and, you know, most of the plants are, you know, in hibernation, dormancy.
As most stuff is, are.
Right. But, you know, you've got a few plants in the house, or maybe, you know, in your spare room or something like that. You know, and there, everybody needs a few indoor plants. I mean, it's good to have.
Should we take a break before we
get
too far into the weeds?
They're not weeds, they're plants.
Oh, I've been reprimanded.
Yes, you have.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back.
And we're going to talk about indoor plants and how to grow them, how to keep them alive, how to select them, all that kind of stuff. But everybody needs an indoor plant, or a few of them. You know, what the heck?
Keeps you company.
That's right. Keeps you company. It'll talk to you when you're lonesome. And, yep. You know, just... and they're no big deal. Some folks get indoor plants and treat them like they're something special, that they need this much care and they need this much this and this much that. They are actually, most of them are tougher than what you actually realize if you've never grown any before. All they need is a little water and a little fertilizer to stay healthy. And I underline little. Because each of those commodities can be increased. If you don't think it's getting enough water, you can increase it. If you don't think you're fertilizing enough, you can give it a little bit more. But you do it in very, very tiny amounts. I know, because I have killed my share of plants in pots by trying to force more growth by adding just a little bit more fertilizer, and I messed up.
It don't work that way.
It don't work that way. They cannot handle it, so don't do it. But you do it the right way, and those indoor plants are going to stay healthy and vibrant. And the most important ingredient is light. The best place for an indoor plant to be is by a large window, like on the south side or something. Natural sunlight is better than artificial lights, obviously. And a plant will live with fake light, but real sunlight is the best. And when I say fake light, I'm talking about, you know, plant lights.
Like this.
Like this up above us here. And
there ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
No, there isn't. It's the real thing is good. So the first thing to consider is plant placement in your house. You know, where is it going to go? I like that particular plant. I like that little lemon tree. Where can I put it? Well, you figure this: the bigger the window, the more natural light it gets, and the better the health of the plant in the long run, because light is needed for photosynthesis. And photosynthesis is simply the food manufacturing process of a plant. And, you know, without photosynthesis, without sunlight, the plant will die because it'll basically starve to death. It needs it to grow. And with a high light, a plant grows quickly. And with a low light, this is artificial stuff. If it has low light, the plant grows slowly. And so there are certain kinds of lights will be more beneficial than just regular turn on the light in the living room and expect it to, do something. And because what happens if it's slow growth, eventually that indoor plant will use its stored sugars and starches, and this results in a decline of the quality of the plant, and then the life expectancy, in other words, it dies because it doesn't have enough light to manufacture its own food, etc. And so consequently, it either gets very sickly looking or what. Now, insufficient light causes plants to grow slowly as well. And what growth there is on a plant with insufficient light will be kind of spindly. It won't be lush. It won't be full. The leaves are smaller than
it'll
normal.
It'll look sick.
Yeah, it looks sick, right. And so people think if it looks sick, they pour water in it. Wrong. Don't do that. That's the worst thing you can do. So, you know, if you've got leaves that are, you bought this plant and looked good and looked really nice, and you've had it a couple of months, and like I say, the leaves are smaller, they're curled up or even cupped, the leaves turn yellow and then drop off, you know, or if it's a flowering plant and the flowers are pale, you know you're doing something wrong, and namely, give it some light. Give it some, well, I don't say fresh air this time of year, but it was 59 degrees outside. You could have put any indoor plant or flowering plant outside, and it would have received benefit from these afternoons. I mean, as long as the pot is, if the plant is suffering, put it outside on a nice day. Don't leave it out there overnight, obviously, but if it's like 50 degrees and above, that's good. That's good to go. Even 45 degrees and above, that's good. It'll work. And if it's a flowering plant, put the thing out there. It's okay. Because without that sufficient light, you're going to have like a lack of flowers. And or the flowers that come on it are going to be kind of miniature or kind of shriveled. They won't look good at all. Yeah. They'll grow very, very slowly, or they'll be stunted or even non-existent because of the lack of light. Yeah. And excess light is not good either. If a plant is near, say, a south or west window, it may get scorched.
Uh-oh.
So you may have to, as you're watching your plant grow, you keep an eye on it. You look at it every day and say, hey, it looks healthy. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. But if you start to see some scorchy leaves, okay, we'll cut it back away from the big window that you got it at. Maybe put it to the side so it doesn't get all that direct the direct sun. And then in the summer, when we've got heat as well as a lot of light, you may want to put it in on a table or a stand that only gets a little bit of light, because basically you get a lot of light in the summer period. So you might have to move some of this around once in a while. But this is stuff you have to think about and think, where would it work? Where years ago, there was a Napier Toyota was down there where Roseburg Rentals is, the equipment place.
Yeah.
And they had their car lot and their showroom and all that. And I was just new in the business, brand new. I mean, like a year worth. And they called me up one day. And says, hey, we got some large indoor plants in here, and they're looking pretty sad. Could you come down and take a look and maybe fix them up? Okay. Having never done that before, I ran down there and took a look.
A challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge. Well, they had a rubber tree in there, and they had these huge windows from the floor to the ceiling windows, but they're all facing east. So they got morning sun till, 11 or noon or something, and then it was a shaded kind of thing. But it was in that morning, it was blasting sun in that place. So it was perfect conditions for that. But there was a philodendron. And they were in redwood pots, and pretty good sized redwood pots. And the philodendron probably went up 10 feet, and that's the plant with the great big giant leaves on it.
If
you know what a philodendron is. At any rate, the thing went up about 10 feet, and then it attached itself to one of the rails on the edge of the ceiling and started growing along the rail up on the ceiling.
Ew.
I'd never seen one that large. And the trunk of it was probably 2 inches in diameter.
Jeez.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And the soil they had it in, it was outrageous. It was hard as a rock. I don't think they ever watered it. And these things were growing, and I couldn't believe it. And they wanted me to fix them up because they were looking a little pale. Jeez Louise. So anyway, I learned quickly that if you prune a philodendron, you cut it and this white sap comes out.
Mm.
So one of the guys gave me his cigarette lighter. And as soon as I cut it, I would cauterize the cut. Put the light right on it and it would scab over very quickly. So the plant wouldn't bleed to death. And I cut them back, fairly significantly, and I did the same thing with the rubber tree, and there was a couple other things in there that I can't remember what they were, but I was surprised at how large they were in those, and the pots were maybe 24 inches wide and 18 inches deep. And those plants had probably been in there for 20 years.
Oh my gosh!
And like I say, I don't think they saw a drop of fertilizer or very little water in those 20 years. But that's how tough these guys are.
Yeah.
And you see them in nurseries where they're fresh and vibrant and they look good. Yeah. Well, there was no comparison to what they looked like at Napier Auto. But anyway, I pruned up their stuff and I hoped it would grow, and apparently it did, and they paid me for my services, and off I went. But
what if they're still alive today?
I don't know where they would be.
True. They didn't donate them to you, huh?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And a few years later, when I could afford it, I went down and bought a brand new little Toyota from them.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. My first brand new car ever.
Probably the best car you had.
It was. It was. Yeah. And the price was just staggering. $2,800.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't even buy a set of tires for $2,800 anymore.
Or anything else.
And this was cool because we went from a 57 Chevy that was, nice car, but it was a 57 Chevy, a lot of room. But when you drove the Toyota, when you turned the steering wheel to the left, the car actually went to the left. Or when you put the brake on, it actually slowed down and stopped.
The Chevy had a little sway in
it. Yeah, well, it was kind of old and wasn't used to that kind of thing. I love driving that.
Well, once you get your hands on a Toyota, you never let go.
I've heard that before. But anyway, so excess light is, I don't know if I'd put it by a big south window where the sun, beat in on it all day from morning till night all summer. That might be a little extreme, and it may get scorched. And if you look at the leaf and it's burning up, move it. Get it away from that window.
It's cooking, baby.
Yeah, don't let it cook for 10 hours or 12 hours a day. Maybe 4 hours or 5 hours a day would be more than sufficient.
Yeah.
And if it's too hot, too light, the plant could be wilting. Or get burned spots on the leaves. That can happen. Or the leaves just plain fall off and the plant dies.
There you go. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, and that's excessive light. That's excessive heat that we'll call that. So, and here's another thing you have to consider. Is your home hot? Do you keep the temperature up in it? And then you got to pay attention to the plant's water needs. Because of if it's transpiring water in a very, say, a 75-degree house, it's going to need a little bit more water than usual. And you have to pay attention to that because it can, of course, wilt and then start to go downhill.
Dissipate.
You got your finger on the button.
Well, we have a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
All right. Here we are. The last break of, today's show.
Oh, good. Last break of the year.
Right here on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All righty, we're back. I got a joke to start this segment off.
Oh, boy. I hope it's good.
Oh, it's clean. It's clean. Okay, when you were reading about the plants a couple of minutes ago about the photosynthesis. Yes. That reminded me of a smart aleck in the biology class. We were studying plants, and the teacher was telling us about the photosynthesis and all that good stuff on the plants. Well, some guy in the back bellowed out, "This is a plant or a biology class, not a photography class."
That actually occurred, huh?
That occurred. Cracked me up. That's why I remember.
Did the guy get an A+ for the day?
Probably.
Oh, gosh.
Photography.
Anyway, I'm talking about indoor plants and you know, how to place them in your home and that kind of thing. There's so many varieties to talk about that... you know, I could be on the air for 4 hours listing all the types of plants you could use for indoor plants. But, you know, like I was saying earlier in the other segment, if your home is hot, if you keep it warm, you know, pay attention to the plant's water needs. You know, if it's a warmer home, it's going to need more water. Some plants can take a drier soil environment, like cactus or jade plants. And then some plants require a damp soil all the time. Not soaking wet, but just barely damp. And before you buy an indoor plant, ask about the care. If, you know, the salesperson is there and a real nursery, say, ask them, how do I treat this? What do I do? How much water does it take? What type of fertilizer does it take? How often do I fertilize it? Get some good basic information before you take it home and overdose it with either water or fertilizer. You can burn them up real quick. I mean, you know, do your research about the care, and you'll love it because you'll learn so much. And as time goes on, you're going to learn the needs of your plant. You're just going to watch the plant and say, I wonder, it's looking good. I wonder what it needs. Just like I say, just don't overdo the basics, water, fertilizer, light, or heat, and you'll be fine. Now, soil is very important for indoor plants for drainage and good root growth, obviously, and I only talk about that every show, I think. But a quality potting soil is your best bet. It's like a combination of perlite, sand, peat moss, and not some dirt from the backyard, okay? Get some good stuff, and you're making an investment. You want this investment to last and do well for years to come. That's what you have to consider. Then the containers are important. Clay pots seem to be a favorite because they can breathe, and if you do overwater them, the clay pot can absorb the water into the pot itself, and it's able to seep through and evaporate from the sides of the pot. I mean, I read that and I go, what? I never thought of that. But that's not the case with like a plastic pot or a glass pot or a metal pot. You know, that won't happen in those circumstances. So if you have a glass or a metal container, make sure there is adequate drain holes at the bottom of the container. It's always a good bet to place about an inch of round drain rock in the bottom of the pot, and the drain rock will keep will help keep the drain holes from plugging up with your potting mix. In other words, when the potting mix settles after 6 months or a year or something like that, those drain holes might be plugged up because the soil's compacted. But if you have an inch or maybe even 2 inches of round drain rock on the bottom, the water's still going to flow through. If you give it too much, it's still going to go through and drain out of its own accord. And then in watering, again, any potted indoor plant, be stingy with the water to prevent overwatering and killing the plant. You can always add the water, but you can't remove it. Same goes for the fertilizer. When you're feeding your indoor plant, use a liquid indoor plant food and follow the directions to the letter when you start. As you watch the plant grow over time, you'll be able to determine the frequency and the strength of your fertilizer program. Different plants have different rates of growth, so your fertilizing program is not the same for all of your indoor plants.
Some different strokes for different folks.
Different plants, exactly. Yeah. For instance, a cactus or a jade plant, they don't require regular feeding or watering because they're dry land plants. I mean, they're basically desert plants. And you compare that to, say, an African violet or an indoor fern, which needs the opposite type of care.
It's pretty hard to kill a cactus, but I managed to do it.
Well, you're a rare creature.
I know. That's what everybody says.
Yeah. And some indoor plants will actually require weekly watering and monthly feeding, while hardier plants may require monthly watering and feeding only every 2 or 3 months. So what you need to do is learn the requirements of each of those plants. Again, do your research. Look it up on the internet. And I discovered, actually my wife discovered it for me, this organic fertilizer, and it's truly organic, and it's for citrus and avocado plants and also for indoor plants. It will do a great thing. And I, like I said, I was not familiar with it, but it's got all the ingredients plus some, and supposedly just does the job all the time. So it's called True Organic, and I don't know where it's made. It doesn't say right to blah 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 blah, but it's the directions are in English and in Spanish, and so if you want to brush up on your Spanish, you can, and you know. Let's see, man, I was going to read you some Spanish here, but I can't find words that I can pronounce yet. So anyway,
you did
that's,
well in a few minutes ago.
I know, but that was at the beginning of the show. My mind is
fading.
Shut down now.
Well, it's a good time to rest then.
Okay, well, thanks for listening today. I hope you learned something. I hope you got entertained at least.
Yeah, and once again, where are you located in Winston?
We are a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99. You go across the Umpqua River, and we're the second nursery on the left.
There you go.
Green roofs. All of our roofs are green.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.